Ezekiel 1?
24, verse 15. Also the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, I shall take away from thee the pleasure or the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, and neither shalt thy tears run down. The pleasure, what God did in a stroke is killed his wife. Boom. When you start thinking about what Ezekiel went through, remember when he had to lay facing Jerusalem and eat his own dung?
Yeah.
And God killed his wife for like a month.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Also the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire or the pleasure of thine eyes with a stroke. Yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, neither shalt thy tears run down. Forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead, bind the turban or the tire of thy head upon thee, and put on thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. Now, all those are signs of mourning, including the fact that he's... Let's get into this. Let me read again. Forbear, stop, don't cry, make no mourning for the dead. Bind the... When you're mourning, you can't wear a hat or a turban, so... Bind the tire or turban of thine head upon thee, put on thy... They had to take their shoes off, you know, like veneer. Put on thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips. A sign of mourning was, it was the same thing the leper did when he covered his face and said, unclean, unclean. Well, the mourner covered his upper lip with his two fingers like this, and it was a sign of mourning and despondency, meaning that he, when in his mind, he was in the same position as a leper. Understand? And eat not the bread of men. So I spake unto the people in the morning, and in the evening my wife died. And I did in the morning as I was commanded. Now, what's your response to that? Just stop a minute.
I'm having trouble believing that God just said, I'm going to kill your wife. I mean,
it's not just his
I'm
wife.
Sure it's true.
It's not just his wife. It was the
desire,
the pleasure of his life.
See, I understand that part. I hear that, and I understand that. And when he says, and you won't cry, and you won't do this, I understand that. But to just, he just like reached out and killed the guy's wife. I'm just having a little trouble with that. I don't think of God as somebody who just reaches out and kills people. Even though I know that's true.
Is he saying, I'm going to kill your wife, but you just go on?
You don't, there's no, yeah, there's no mourning, no. You can't mourn, you can't shed a tear.
Act as if nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of awestruck, I mean.
Yeah.
Haven't you ever read this before?
No. You know it's here?
I believe it.
Huh?
I can't believe it. That's the God I know.
Yeah.
You know, like crunching into the ground, you're supposed to just go, no problem. No problem.
What do you think?
Mourning can only be self-involved. Because if somebody's dead, you can't very well be sad for them. So...
Yeah, but you said holy shit or something like that.
Yeah, right. It'd be
when you read that. When I read it,
I was going to say that was pretty spiritual like.
Yeah, that's what.
But now what's the? Give us the real answer.
Oh, now what I really? I mean, it's, I can't imagine because that'd be like tearing your whole being and asunder and saying okay, now go about your business like usual.
And what's the deal on mourning? Is it? Are you commanded to mourn? Is it in the law that you should mourn? Is God telling him to break the law? Or is he just telling him to break a custom?
What he's telling him is to see that his wife was a parable.
I understand that. But what I'm asking, what are the people seeing? Are they seeing a man break the law?
People thought he was crazy. What I'm trying to get, what the reason we're picking this extraordinary chapter and verse is to, I want you to get to see that this life isn't it. And God doesn't think this life is it.
Yeah, like what you said, Aaron, you know, he can't believe his wife was killed. But as soon as you said that, it was like, well, why not?
Flesh
and blood like everybody else.
Exactly. Like, you know, and why not take her out? Everything's getting killed off.
Better is the day of a man's death than the day of a man's birth. I believe that. Yet at the same time, I'm shocked that God would take somebody out of the show.
And yet he's doing it every day.
Exactly.
But this is to Ezekiel.
I understand. You'd think he'd be special.
Huh?
You'd think he'd be special.
Yeah, I want to preach on this at Word of Faith.
You may be invited. I think you will be.
Yeah, be a man of God. All the men that God wants you to be.
Mark that on the tape.
I think I'm struck by the amount of faith to continue on without turning aside. That's what's striking.
Well, that's what I want you to see, and that's what we're talking about this.
Like, there's no acceptable reason to be out of the rest.
There's no reason.
Well, he had to see it was finished, because the law was even.
There's no reason on the face of the earth not to be in peace.
Can you mourn and be in peace at the same time? Mm-hmm. So I could be waste-eyed?
Well, I mean, I'm not saying I would die. I would mourn if at least die.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm not, I'm just saying that
it's allowed. It's grace. You know, it's like, okay, you can do this for 40 days.
There's a period of mourning that was legal.
God, it's like God giving you some slack because he knows you're frail.
So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at evening my wife died, and I did in the morning as I was commanded. And the people said unto me, wilt thou not tell us what these things are to us, that thou doest so?
Would God, this doesn't necessarily mean that God said, okay, Ezekiel, I'm going to kill your wife, and you're going to be okay tomorrow. It could be that he has heard the message, right? And God, in essence, told him that he was not to mourn by virtue of the fact that he believed this, right? Yes, no?
Listen, behold, I take away from you the desire or pleasure of your eyes with a stroke.
Wrong.
This is one more step in testing
eyes.
Of Ezekiel, right?
Eyes.
Yeah.
He's already tested Ezekiel pretty thoroughly.
Totally.
And
Ezekiel, you gotta understand, Ezekiel was a priest for 21 years before God started fucking with him.
So he knows he's not.
I can't believe I said that.
You won't be invited to say that.
We all were thinking that. I was talking about him.
21 years.
He was a priest for 21 years before God started this. Speak unto the house. Then I answered them. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God: behold, I will profane my sanctuary. The excellency of your strength, the desire of your eyes, and that which your soul pitieth, or that which your soul has value in. And your sons and your daughters whom you have left shall fall by the sword, and you shall do as I have done. You shall not cover your lips, nor eat the bread of men, and your tires or your turbans shall be upon your heads, and your shoes upon your feet. You shall not mourn nor weep, but ye shall pine away for your iniquities, and mourn toward one another. Thus Ezekiel is unto you a sign, according to all that he hath done shall you do. And when this cometh, you shall know that I am the Lord God. And also thou son of man, shall it not be in the day when I take from them their strength, the joy of their glory, the desire of their eyes, that whereupon they set their minds, their sons and their daughters, that he that escapeth in that day shall come unto thee to cause thee to hear it with thine ears. And that day shall thy mouth be open to him which is escaped, and thou shalt speak and be no more dumb. Thou shalt be a sign unto them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Now, all things that we can perceive with our senses, all conditions that we can find ourselves in, are but a parable. Last night in stealth, it was pretty wild stealth. I think finally stealth understood something. But we studied, we've been studying the ashes of the red heifer, and we've studied the ashes a lot, so then I started talking about the water. And how the water is everywhere, and that you are anchored to this river of life that's running. That's what makes you you. And that, you know, we talked about this in Bananas Tuesday, that that well has been filled up with all of the things of your life, and God wants it empty. And so what appears to you to be loss is simply the emptying of the well so that the well springs of living water can rise up. And that can only, I mean, let's look at a couple other things. I just wanted you to see that. Let's look at Luke. Mm-hmm. 17. Verse 11. We studied in here, didn't we, about him passing through Samaria and all that meant?
Yeah.
And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, his command was to go show themselves to the priests. By the time they got to the priests, the only time they could be cleansed of leprosy was if they were leprous, from the top of the head to the bottom of their feet. They were all leprous. And then watch what one of the lepers says. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show to yourselves unto the priests. And then they had to go through this process where they got their right ear touched with blood, you know, on their right hand and their right foot. And then they got them touched with oil. And then, you know, then they, after that they were able to re-enter the partake of the offerings. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. The lepers, 9 lepers that were Jews, were healed. And they didn't understand. The only one that heard, the only one that understood was the Samaritan. The first person to recognize Jesus Christ as Son of God was a demon. The first person to recognize the resurrected Christ was a whore. The only leper that gave thanks was a Samaritan. Are you starting to see that it's only the outcasts that here? It's only those of us that, you know, we really haven't anything else that will continue, that will abide. This guy we met with today was a felon, and he seems, hopefully he's not gay. Anyway, and he wanted to volunteer, to do some volunteer work at several places, and when he made application at those places to do volunteer work, he put in the application, and he was a felon, and they never called him back. I mean, it's hard for me to conceive of that, but anyway, that's still not what I want to talk about. When one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "Where were not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Now, in verse 15, it says, one of them saw that he was healed. It's the only time in the Bible that the word healed is used with regard to leprosy, and it wasn't the priest or Jesus that said that. Every other time, it's the word that means with regard to the waters, that you're purged or cleansed with the waters. It's a different, totally different. It's, in the Greek, it's katharizo, make clean or pure. But the word that he used was ianami, or iamai, which meant, it's translated, is healed. It means to make whole, that he lacked nothing. Here's a man that was leprous from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, but he saw in the Spirit that he was whole and he lacked nothing. The world, when they looked at him, wouldn't have seen him whole. He was all leprous. Probably had lost an ear and an arm and a leg.
And
he was a Samaritan. But what I want you to see, and this is what I want to see, is that by the act of seeing that you're leprous from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, then you have a right to say you are whole, you lack nothing. Everybody else in the world will say, "My God, ooh, ick." But that's your heritage, to see that you're whole, you lack nothing. That's pretty neat. The leper, in spite of his all-white condition, saw in the Spirit, he saw that he was whole, complete, lacking nothing.
So it's sort of like, yeah, so I'm dead. I mean, there's an agreement with that. But that's
he probably had body parts missing.
Like, yeah. Okay, take your best shot. I'm dead already.
You got to hear this.
You say you're whole with body parts missing.
Yeah, most of the lepers in this time, especially, would have lacked body parts. Because what happens in leprosy, after the flesh, is you lose the feelings of the limbs, and you lose the body parts, not because they don't deteriorate, but you knock them against stuff and they fall off.
You break them and you cut them or you burn them
and you don't feel it. You don't know it.
Yeah.
So I mean, when this man is speaking, he is really speaking against sensory perception.
Right. So you got to hear this, though. I mean, if you study the ancient leprosy, they didn't have any way of treating anything. There was no, you know. And so when the things that were normally lost were, you know, when you bite your, you know, when you bite your lip or you bite the inside of your mouth and you hear it crunch.
Right.
They wouldn't know it, and so there'd be a hole in their mouth. And when they went to sleep, and they were chewing, and they'd bite off their lips. And when they wouldn't know it, bite off hunks of their tongue.
So for some guy like that to say, "I'm whole, lacking nothing."
And he says, not only that, he's a Samaritan. He says, "I'm healed."
So it doesn't mean that, like in a magical moment, he came as like brand new again. I mean, you read this and you think, you know, as he's walking, I mean, his skin turns brand new again, and he's, right. You know, that's not what the healed means.
No.
The healed means he sees that, he sees himself as he is, and he says, so what?
Yeah, I am complete.
Yes. I don't need the world standards.
Which is sort of the same thing as the Ezekiel thing, which is, I mean, take away the desire of your eyes and you won't cry. It's the same exact thing. This guy
says he's complete. That's why we study them together.
Would that be the reason they're in the same Bible study at about the same,
same
time?
That's why I chose them both to study.
So, like, you knew that already.
But what I want you to see, and I want, especially I want you to see this with regard to, so that's all he needs to see. When I came out of the door, he was waiting for me. He was all pissed off at me because when he said, thank you, I didn't say you're welcome. I said, look, we're dealing with two issues here. One issue is leprosy, and I'm overjoyed that you said what's there. So instead of internalizing. The second issue is judgment. I said, you got to settle it right now that as long as I live, I'm not going to dance when you pipe. I'm not going to mourn when you lament. And so, you either got to take that or kill me. Let's go to Luke 4. Well, I got a hairy story to tell you.
Along with our...
it's the same thing.
Hear your own story.
Same
kind of stuff.
I guess I'm going to go to the bathroom after all.
Huh?
I'm going to go to the bathroom after
all. This is a short story.
Then we can all pee.
So... Paul and Harry and I were having a meeting this afternoon out on my back porch, and we were talking.
Paul and Oli were having a Get Harry session.
Victimhood deluxe.
Wait, did you hear the story?
You don't know what the story is.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, Harry, I start telling something, and Harry starts whining. But he doesn't whine outwardly. He just sort of whines in his sort of tone of voice, and you know, in his...
He does this.
Yeah, he does that kind of stuff. And so, just about this time, Pete comes over. And Pete had just told Keith that he wanted Keith to mop the bathroom floor. And Keith told him, no. And Pete was all upset. He wanted to kick his butt. And I said, well, it's okay. I mean, you didn't make it as an agreement. It wasn't in the duties. I mean, go wipe the floor yourself. Anyway, I mean, you don't have any authority over Keith to make him. And so anyway, and so then I said, Harry, do you think that what Keith just did to Pete was rebellion? And I said, damn right, you should kick his ass. And I said, no, Harry. What you were doing is rebellion. Because he was thinking in his mind that Ole was a damn fool and I was not knowing what I was talking about, but he wouldn't say that. Instead, it came out in this slow burn whine. And that's the rebellion. I don't care if Harry tells me I'm a fool all day, outwardly. Now, that difference is again, everything about God stuff is the opposite of what it appears. Because it would appear to everybody, when you hear the word rebellion, that Keith was rebelling against Pete's authority. But anyway, in this same context of what we're talking about, rebellion isn't, oh, you're full of shit. Oh, you're a dumbass. I'm not going to do that. Rebellion is thinking it internally and not letting it out. You understand that?
I hear it. It's difficult.
Why?
Because everything in me screams that Keith is rebellious and I'm not. I know that's not right, but everything that I've ever experienced says that.
But Keith is rebellious at times.
You don't have to convince me. I know it, but it's difficult. It's really difficult. I know it's true, difficult. And I know it's idolatry. I know it's graven images, the molten images. I mean, when something like that happens where he in particular says, no, I mean, the emotion explodes in me. I mean, it's huge. I could kill him and enjoy doing it. It's huge. It's a big, big deal.
Luke 4, verse 24. And he said, well, this is just before they threw him, when they wanted to throw him over the cliff. You remember, this is when he first preached in the synagogue. The first thing he said, and then they said, they marveled at his words and said, is this not Joseph's son? And then in verse 23, he said unto them, ye surely will say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Now you know where Sidon is.
It's a little
secret. Okay. Sidon is still a city in Lebanon. It was out of the Promised Land. What they're saying is, it's again this thing, Jesus healed the Samaritan. It's this deal where nobody in the promise, in the righteous, was fed by Elijah. Only the widow that was outside the promise. Now, can you hear what he's saying to these people who think they're the chosen ones of the world? And then he says, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed save Naaman the Syrian. Are you starting to get an idea of what's going on here? In other words, anytime you think, it's almost if you think you're in the promise, you're not. If you think you deserve it, you've lost it.
So much for ever doing something for God.
If you think you're clean, you're not.
Right.
Yeah. If you think you've got it, you don't.
I mean, it is so crucial that we understand this, that we have to always understand that where the off's going. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4. Chapter 4, verse 8. Now you are full, now you are rich, you have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be you followers of me. He's saying, all of those things that he is, be a follower of that. Now, why is he saying that? He's saying that because you will always find the temptation of your mind is to believe that gain is godliness. And you will always believe that if you're in any kind of suffering, if you're in any kind of pain, if you're in any kind of need whatsoever, it means there's a core belief pattern in all men that says something is wrong. And that's what you have to combat with all things. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not be in need. I shall not see need. Amen.
I got a question about what he's just written here. I've never understood this. What voice is he using when he says, you're wise, you're rich, you're full. Is he being sarcastic?
Yeah, very.
Okay, I never really understood that.
Totally sarcastic.
Okay. And he's really saying, you think you're wise?
Well, by the world's standards, they may be.
Yeah. But he's saying, you're wise in Christ. But he said, but he says, but you are wise in Christ.
You think so you got it together.
You think you're wise. Right. You think you're rich. You know? You don't know that you're naked and wounds and bruises.
Right.
Putrefying.
He's the only one in the world that would have, somebody would have said putrefying and he heard thigh. Okay, I don't feel like talking anymore.
If you were going to like categorize this, what would you call, is this part of waters? Part of,
I probably wouldn't even save it.
Really?
I don't care if you save any of them.
I'm going to save it.
We have to make a decision on when are we going to do the take a big guy.